Whether or not you're into philosophy, most people have at least heard of Socrates. Actually, hearing about Socrates is all you can do, even if you're an expert, because the ancient Athenian, who's widely regarded as the founder of Western moral philosophy, authored no texts. Socrates' oral teachings were written about by the likes of Plato and Aristophanes. Just like its democracy, Athenian philosophy was almost exclusively a boys' club, but not completely. And our next guest wants to highlight the ancient female thinkers who contributed to the development of philosophy in their time and beyond. Dawn Laval Norman is a research fellow at the Australian Catholic University's Institute for Religion and Critical Inquiry and an associate member of the ACU's Gender and Women's History Centre. And Dawn recently wrote the very erudite listicle, Wise Women, Six Ancient Female Philosophers You Should Know About. Dawn, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Thank you so much for having me, Julian.
It's great to have you. Now, Socrates obviously had a very good publicist in Plato. You'd like to perform the same role, I believe, for, is it Aspasia of Miletus, to promote her contribution? Tell us a little bit about Aspasia.
That's right. Well, my main goal in this project is to help break stereotypes of the ancient world that we might have, that philosophy is only about men, in order to help break modern stereotypes we have of what makes a good philosopher. So I am trying to tell the world more about people like Aspasia of Miletus, but I can only do that because men in the past have also decided to share her wisdom with the world, and that's an important aspect of ancient teaching.
In the same way that Plato wrote about Socrates, there were ancient writers who noted and appreciated the significance of Aspasia as well. Is that right?
Precisely, yeah, and Plato was one of them, actually. Plato, there were a number of people who wrote dialogues where Socrates was the main character. Not just Plato. Plato was only one of his publicists, you could say. And a number of these people included the character of Aspasia and included conversations that Socrates had with Aspasia as part of the stories that they told about the life of Socrates.
So what do we know about Aspasia and what is she conversing about in those ancient texts?
So we know that she does not come from Athens, but comes from a different city, Miletus, and she moved to Athens where she was the center of social life for a while, and she became associated with Pericles, who was the most important man in Athens. But Pericles couldn't marry her because Pericles had just made a law making it illegal to marry foreign women. So his own law came back to bite him, and he couldn't marry Aspasia. So instead, Aspasia just associated with him as a mistress, and they had a child together. And she's famous for giving advice to married couples or unmarried couples about how to have a good emotional life and a good life with your husband. But she's also famous in Plato's dialogue, The Metaxenus, for teaching Socrates supposedly how to speak well, and that she was the power behind the throne, you could say, and taught Pericles the art of speech making, which made him the most famous man in Athens.
And when you say she taught Socrates how to speak well, so was her contribution there about the content of thought or more about the mode of communicating it?
Well, that one's a tricky one because a lot of people want to say that the dialogue, the Metaxenus, which is about how to make a good speech, is actually Plato making fun of the mode of speaking that just praises things without content. And so some people say he uses the character of Aspasia as part of that kind of anti-philosophical argument that even a woman can teach you how to speak well. So All of our information about these women in the ancient world is mediated through men's different goals and why they're writing these works. So it is a bit tricky. You have to triangulate and kind of imaginatively reconstruct what we can know about them.
Well, we know Socrates appreciated the teachings of Aspasia. What views did people like Socrates and Plato hold about women and people like Aspasia?
Well, I think that one of the things by tracking kind of the role that women play in being depicted as philosophers is they're often associated with issues of desire. And so when men want to kind of harness desire as a positive thing or as a negative thing. They will use women characters and women's voices to discuss those issues. So it kind of heightens those issues for them. So the other important woman in Socrates' life, you could say, besides his mother, whom we know a little bit about, is and his wife, Xanthippe, is someone named Diotima, who was a female priestess that he says taught him everything he knows about love and desire, which he makes as the root and the heart of the philosophical life. It's about desiring the beautiful and trying to give birth to virtue because of the beautiful. And he says a woman taught him this. But you can see how this cluster of topics, desire, birth, love, are gendered feminine in the ancient world. So he can kind of use this female character to get at what he wants to say about philosophy.
We're learning about wise women and the six ancient female philosophers that apparently, according to Dawn Laval-Norman, we should know about. Dawn, the next person you highlight is Clea, and I must admit, I wasn't familiar with Clea's work or role. Can you tell us a little bit about her?
She is in some ways my favorite because she's the least known in this whole list. And so I feel like I discovered her in a sense, which is not entirely true. But Plutarch, who is a wonderful writer from the imperial period when Greece was under Roman control, wrote tons and tons of things. He's one of the most prolific writers from the ancient world. And he spent much of his life in Delphi, and he talks about the friendships he had with women who were professionals at that shrine. Clea, Leontis, those are the two main women he talks about. And so he talks about the conversations he had with these women and how it inspired him to write down some of his thoughts on these issues and dedicate them to these women. So we know that he advertises the fact that he was having these high-level conversations with these intellectual women about whom we otherwise basically know nothing.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because it means that what we know then is fully mediated through those male voices. In the case of someone like Clea, is it literally the case that there are no other records of it? There's no other way of trying to get a sense of what life might have been from another perspective?
We do have a little bit more evidence about her through material remains. There's a statue in Delphi that has an inscription about members of her family. So we can kind of get at it a little ways that way, but she never self-represents who she is, we have none of her writings or nothing that comes directly from her. So all of the evidence either comes from material remains that archaeologists have discovered or the writings of Plutarch.
Well, I'm certainly sold on the interest and importance of those two figures so far. Let's move on then to number three. I don't know if you formally ranked them, though, did you?
No, this is Dawn, chronological. No. It's chronological.
Yeah, okay. Excellent. tell us about Hypatia of Alexandria.
Hypatia of Alexandria is by far and away the most famous ancient female philosopher. And I think the reason she's so famous is because she's become a symbol of many different things over the ages. She, particularly because not only was she a teacher, an influential teacher of philosophy and mathematics and astronomy, but she also came to a very untimely end and was lynched by a mob and killed. And so this dramatic moment of her death made her into this kind of rallying cry and symbol for a variety of different persons and reasons. But what we actually have of Hypatia, if you try to focus not on her death but on her life, is we have letters that her student Synesius sent to her talking about, asking her for advice, asking her to send books, having conversations about astronomy or about philosophy. So we can kind of reconstruct something about her life there, not only from the historians but from someone who actually knew her and admired her as his teacher. So you can develop a bit more fuller picture of what she was like.
Yes, indeed. Now, in the ancient Greek world, what sort of capacity was there for women to actually engage in philosophical debate and be a part of the schooling and education process? Were they, were there exceptions of people who were able to contribute fully?
That's a wonderful question. And because even this short list of six people vary over a 600-year time period, obviously there's a lot of cultural changes that happen over that 600 years about access to education. And there's kind of a couple moments where things really change. One is from the move from the Greek society, primarily ancient Greek society in classical Athens, to a Roman society where women had a bit more freedom to do things, and then the Christianization of that society. And when that society was Christianized, one of the things that happened was women started being encouraged and admired for leading lives other than married lives. So people were able to lead a single life dedicated to God and therefore have the freedom from like the family ties and the family obligations in order to pursue a life of philosophy. So even in a later period when we're dealing with people who aren't Christians, like Hypatia and Sozopatra, Sozopatra had a family, but Hypatia is living in the Christian period and is not herself a Christian, but she has sort of a new freedom to live a single life, which permitted her to kind of also lead an intellectual life. Now, their education often had to be in the context of family networks. So Hypatia was lucky that her father was a famous astronomer, so she had lots of opportunities to stay at home and learn because there weren't necessarily schools of higher education for women. You could go to grammar school as a woman and learn how to read and write, but you couldn't necessarily go to a philosophical school. So you had to find other ways of being educated.
And indeed, there was a family connection with Sozopatra, who I think you mentioned before, but you also write that she really eclipsed those family connections and was apparently more famous than her husband in the field of philosophy as well. Is that right?
That's right. So her students would come and they would go to both of them to learn. But the biographer of both of them says that all the students preferred Sozopatra. She was the better teacher of the two.
And do we know whether this was a source of discontent for Eusthenius?
We don't know, but he died fairly young. So I don't know how long he had to be resentful. And then she was able to kind of continue her teaching career in a different context, a slightly different context. After that. Yeah.
And so just to summarize, Dawn, why is it important that we know about these other women as well as the sort of the famous names of the ancient world?
I think what it is often we think about the ancient world as monolithic, and we think of it as it's only about elite males. And there's a lot of truth in that. But I think that finding those moments that work against that main narrative, those counter narratives, can be really important as we develop our own images of what it means to be a good philosopher. Because of the authority we invest in the classical past, finding these women from the classical past that we can kind of use and expand upon in the modern world is really powerful.
Sounds good to me. I think I'll add you to my list of wise women, Dawn Lavelle Norman. Thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you.
And Dawn is a research fellow at the Australian Catholic University's Institute for Religion and Critical Inquiry, an associate member of the ACU's Gender and Women's History Centre. And as we heard, she wrote Wise Women, Six Ancient Female Philosophers You Should Know About.